as receiver, I mean, separation that he can create with his feet. I think that off the line, just the way that he's really taken ownership of it, and he cares about his craft. He's just an easy guy to throw to, body language, eyes, and I feel like his catch radius is some of the best I've been around.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen speaking about Josh Palmer. Those two getting their training camp debut yesterday.
Has Josh Allen ever completed a pass to someone named Josh?
Ooh, that's a great question.
That is a great question.
I doubt it.
I think I would doubt it, too.
I don't think so. I don't. This is, all right, this is where you pull
I'm
up
look. I'll look at a list.
I want you to pull up the trivia.
Terrible question to ask. It's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Name that Allen has completed the most passes to. We'll work on that for trivia.
Okay.
Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University, brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Jeremy White, Sneaky Jody Biasi, and joining us here from training camp is Matt Beauvais of course, It's Always Game Day at Buffalo with Sal Capaccio. You guys got a big event tonight.
Yeah, we got a big show at Bar Bill. The Bar Bill location down in Rochester starts at 7 o'clock. Sal says that they are getting phone calls off the hook and that there's expected to be a lot of people there. So I am hoping that's the case. It's always a really fun night, so there should be a good turnout. I know there will be good wings, and that's a nice combination.
Yeah, so
that's a good spot, too, though, where you can just show up and go to the bar. And
well, that's why it's nice. There's so much space there. So even if it is absolutely packed, like it's not like they're going to run out of space, right?
You're
listening to a podcast. There's big speakers. You can hear the speakers from all over the place.
Yeah, 1129 Empire Boulevard in Rochester tonight, the event. The podcast is from 7 to 8. The event's 7 to 8. You guys will be there probably before and after.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know how the media has its evenings here at St. John Fisher.
A lot of schmoozing.
Yes, that's right.
A lot of schmoozing is the word I would use.
That's right. All right, Matt, so day one of camp in the books. It's funny, I was telling Joe, you know, you're out there day one and you're watching whatever you come to, and then afterwards I'm driving home listening and reading, whether it's here you or Matt Parrino. Like, all right, what's everyone's observations? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the observations kind of lined up. Christian Benford looked great.
He's good.
And the defense as a whole, I mean, it's red zone stuff early on, but the defense, I thought, kind of just looked sticky and looked like they were faster maybe than years past. It's day one, I know. But I thought it was a good look.
Yeah, I thought Benford looked very good. I thought there were a couple reps, even though they're not in pads, where Bosa just ate. And I was like, wow, like that's interesting. Because you want to know what you're going to get out of that guy, right? And I think that's a really big unknown going into the season. And I was also very collectively impressed with three of their first four draft picks on the defensive side. I thought Hairston had a nice day. He cut off a couple passes, and you could definitely see his speed. I thought TJ Sanders flashed continuously. And then Deion Walker at one point, we're sitting there watching, and he took three guys and individually just shoved all of them together into Mitch Trubisky. And when you see him out there, it's crazy how much bigger he is than even his peers. He is that big. So for him to no longer be restricted, he was restricted for mandatory minicamp, which is the limitations on his injury. So that's a good sign that those restrictions aren't there. So this new wave and this new defensive line that they've pieced together, you know, one day, let's all hold our breath, but so far, so good.
So far, so good. And they were working against an offensive line that did not have Spencer Brown. Yeah. Of course, he's missing. We'll see any sort of timeline on that. But, you know, this defensive front with Bosa, he had some interesting comments yesterday about the atmosphere here. And I think it's interesting. Someone brought up to me the difference between the two teams in town. The fact that there's not a lot going on seems to help the Bills.
Yeah.
Because these players all just hang out together. Here's Bosa saying he hung out with teammates more in 6 weeks than maybe his entire career because – this team just basically hangs out and goes to Josh's house. It seems like that's pretty much what it is.
You want the football guys, right?
Yeah.
And if you're a football guy, these are the teams that you want to play for. The fan base is rabid. They absolutely love their team. But also, like, you're spending a lot of time with each other. And in a market like Buffalo, there are not nearly as many distractions as there would be in Los Angeles or in Miami or in some of these other major cities in the NFL. And some people hear that and they think it's a knock on Buffalo. Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. But if you're a football guy, you want to spend time with your guys. I mean, it almost feels like the Bills have a continuation of training camp when they get back to Orchard Park. They always talk about how much they love spending all this time together when they're at training camp. Well, when they get back, that doesn't really change. The only thing that comes into the mix is now you're mixing in spouses and girlfriends and kids and other responsibilities. but you're still going to make time to be spending time with your teammates outside of the facility, which I think has been a big reason why the Bills have had this, you know, run of success. That and Josh Allen's really, really good.
It's been talked about as like kind of a – players have said this. Maybe Vaughn had said this when he got here. Like, it's kind of like college football here. And I think whenever I hear that, I think about the fan base for that and how the fans are. But that kind of could be all this – player stuff too, like them hanging out with each other. It's not like they're in dorm rooms next to each other like they would be playing college football, but that could also be what they mean when they say like it's more of a college-y type atmosphere, as college as you could get for the NFL.
Yeah, and you also think too, like these guys, especially in Buffalo, are legitimate celebrities. If you walk around Western New York, you know who let's say 75% of the guys on the Bills, at least the starters, are. So they don't go out as a group a ton in public because, you know, like they can't just show up to Music on Main or to Canal Fest.
Reed Ferguson can show up to Music on Main and he's going to get recognized.
Exactly. Yeah. So they hang out together at their houses. They have cookouts. They have, I mean, I did a story with Connor McGovern a couple years ago. He legitimately, every Friday night before home games, has massive pizza parties with 40 to 50 members of his team. And that is their way of just like hanging out with each other one last time before each game. They bring their spouses, they bring their family members. And he said there's a waiting list to get on this because we just sit there and we cook up pizza and appetizers. And you talk about what's better than just hanging out with your friends in a basement, watching sports on a Friday night, and getting ready for a big game a couple days later. Like, I feel like that kind of perfectly encapsulates what the locker room is like.
Day two of training camp today. We'll hear from Joe Brady at 9:15. He'll go for his opening press conference. You know, it's funny. This is a reminder that when training camp starts, it's the Bills against the Bills.
Yep.
So if Christian Benford and Max Harrison have a good day, that means the receivers they were covering did not necessarily have a good day. And I saw a little bit Matt Perino, who's over here with us as well. He wrote up about Keon Coleman. I had the same kind of observation that Coleman, there are a couple times where they were not breadbasket drops, but they're contested catch drops. And, you know, there's a lot riding on him this year and what he can do in year two. And I thought, not the best start, of course, long way to go, but he had some trouble yesterday in some contested catches.
Yeah, I agree, but I also wonder if a player like that, if he needs to be seen with the pads on and with more contact because that is his area of expertise, like I'm going to bully you there, you would think that that would also translate to when they're not wearing pads, but I wonder how physical he wants to get in those settings. I'm not trying to give him a pass or anything. I think there's two big X factors for the Bills. Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman going into the season, and what they get out of those guys I think will tell us a lot about how this season is. So far, I think Dalton Kincaid has had a good summer. I think his mandatory minicamp was strong, and I think he had a good first day of camp. Keon Coleman, I didn't notice it as a bad day. I certainly didn't notice it as a good day, but I also do think until we get to day four, which is usually when they put the pads on, that's when I want to try and start seeing which players look good, which players struggle. It feels like these are, you know, the first couple days of school where you're filling out the index cards and asking people a random fact about themselves.
Especially for Coleman, right? Because Coleman is probably going to have to play a physical brand on the outside. He's going to be lined up on the line of scrimmage. Like, these would be the days, like, we'll get to the secondary. In fact, we can't hear if you want. Like, these would be the days where I'd expect a guy like Max Harrison to stand out.
Yes.
Because he's so fast, and before the pads come out and it gets more physical, the guys with the speed, I think in theory, would be the ones that you would see stand out early.
Yeah, and I think like with the wide receivers, the separators would separate more because they don't have pads on. So I feel like Keon Coleman, we all know, that's not a separator. That's not his area of expertise. So you wonder how much would he be able to shine. And that's the other thing, too. I really came away liking Max Harrison's first day, but then you make the point, they're not in pads. He's already the fastest guy on the team, one of the fastest players in the NFL. He should look really, really fast in this setting, and he did. So that's why that's a good sign. Going back to your point at the beginning, like Christian Benford, he's just so technically sound with everything he does, and to realize that that player is still 24 years old, you know, they had the list come out a couple weeks ago, ESPN, the top 10 corners in the NFL. He doesn't even get a vote.
There are 29 corners mentioned, and he didn't get a vote.
That's crazy.
Others receiving votes, him not being on that list at least, is offensive.
No personnel person even said Christian Benford.
And there's some reasons for it. I was talking to Carl Jones about this a little bit because obviously that's his area of expertise is the secondary, and he was saying the fact that he's a late pick hurts him. The fact that he doesn't follow receivers also hurts him just because a lot of the top guys do that. And the fact that he just doesn't get a ton of interceptions, you know. Some people see that as a negative. You want all of your corners to probably get as many interceptions as possible, but you know, he's just a very technically sound, steady, solid player. But would any of us be shocked if he's one of the five best players on the Bills roster this year? Yeah. I wouldn't be.
No, I might even expect it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's right.
One of their top five players. And then, you know, you get to the secondary as a whole. Benford there. We've talked a little bit about Hairston. I said to Joe, we should be on Hairston pick six watch out here just because the style he plays, it's a matter of time before, hey, Maxwell Hairston just picked off insert quarterback here and took it back the distance.
Yeah, and what's interesting, too, is for some reason when you were saying that, I was thinking about a conversation that I had. Now that we have the hindsight of knowing that they've drafted Hairston, it makes sense when we just talked about Benford and how steady and consistent and solid he is. Maybe they're taking a swing for the fence with the upside, and that's what Hairston is, right? I don't know if you need another guy who's steady and consistent and solid. Like, you want your players to be as good as possible, but none of us will be surprised when we watch Hairston jump in front of a pass and take it all the way, but that also might mean he get burned every once in a while. And I think you live with that when you have somebody like Benford on the other side of you, you know, the risk and reward and how they play off of each other. So I think it's not a matter of if, but when Hairston ultimately ends up doing that. Mm-hmm. And I think for Bills fans, the hope is that he's doing it in games.
Surprising at all that the defense did look more impressive yesterday?
Every time we get out here, Capaccio always reminds me, you know, the defense is usually ahead of the offense early on. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, but the offense led the NFL in almost everything last year, so I thought they would be more ahead. It was also interesting that Josh made a point after practice to say, hey, everybody, we had a really good day. I was throwing the ball away a lot. I wanted to make sure I protected the football. Mm. I almost thought he was, like, talking to Hard Knocks at that point and being like, hey, Hard Knocks, I'm much better than this, but I didn't want to make any mistakes on the first day of camp.
Joe and I were watching. We kind of commented. Again, it's the Bills against the Bills, so if the defense is good, the offense isn't. He did have a lot of, like, scrambly throwaways.
Yeah. Oh, there were so many times when he was rolling out to his right, and that's usually when he is the most deadly, and he just threw it out to the track behind the field. And I'm like, okay. Right. You know, he didn't throw it across his body trying to find somebody who's cutting back into space. Mm-hmm. I guess in a game it might be a little bit different. But, yeah, I would say overall, like, the defense collectively – I'm expecting more than I think some people are with the defense. I think they're going to be better than maybe the outside perspective is. Because, you know, you see all these different podcasts and lists about the best defenses in the NFL. And the Bills at this point really aren't mentioned a ton as kind of the best of the best. And I don't think they're going to be the best of the best, but I think they might be more consistent than they have been.
To James Cook. Yesterday, Brandon Bean spoke about Cook quite a bit. We could debate whether or not they're going to sign him, how this ultimately finishes out. Did you think the tone was softer, different, changed than a couple months ago when it sounded like it was a cold war between the two sides?
Yeah, when we were at the owners' meetings in Florida, I was like, okay, I don't think James Cook is going to play for the Bills again after this season. I still don't know if I feel that way, but there was a specific quote from Bean yesterday talking about James Cook where he said, I hope at this time next year we're talking about this and James Cook is out there practicing. And that, you know, perked the ears up a little bit of like, oh, you know, maybe there is a way that James Cook sticks around. I don't know if that means he's going to get a new contract. Maybe that means they franchise tag him, and then we're having the same conversations in a year from now about if he's happy or about if he's actually going to play. Is he holding in? Is he holding out? But I did feel like there was a little bit of a softer tone from Bean's standpoint and maybe a bit more willingness to get something done with Cook if they can find that place where they're clearly trying to meet in the middle. Because I'm sure the Bills have a number in their head. Like, we're not going over this number for a running back. Especially a running back who plays 50%, less than 50% of snaps.
You feel it's more likely that this is kind of the end of the contract negotiations and the saga with him being on the field and practicing? Or, I don't know, could the Bills also take it as, all right, he showed up, he's here, you know, let's give him one more offer with a couple million more guaranteed or whatever as a kind of a show of good faith?
Yeah, that's what I think too, and that's why I think Cook did the right thing yesterday to see if maybe that's where it goes. If, hey, I don't want to be a distraction. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be, you know, the big story of training camp. I'm here to work. And then they've done the extensions a couple weeks before the season several times.
So Knox right before the
Dawson
season.
Dawson Knox
maybe?
Did it.
Spencer Brown last year, right?
Did it. Deion Dawkins before the last extension that he ended up getting. Like, a lot of these guys have done that right before the season. So maybe they follow suit, and he's the and if it's yeah. not him, the only other name I think that makes sense, or there's two other names, are Connor McGovern and David Edwards, because I think both of those players they really really like, and they've got them on really good bargains right now. Mm-hmm. So if they want to try and, you know, continue to solidify that offensive line, those are the other two kind of right before the season extension candidates.
The Cook situation, do you think they'll ultimately come to an extension?
No.
Or do you think that he still is more likely to walk next year?
I do. I think that he's more likely to walk. I just don't know if the Bills are willing to go as high as what he wants, and I don't know if what he wants is what he and his brother are posting on X about, if mm-hmm. it's quite that much. But if you're that far off, or if it's been that far off up to this point, I don't know if the Bill – his value is so high after a 16-touchdown season, but he only does play 50% of the snaps. I think James Cook is a very good running back, and I think mm-hmm. the Bills are a better team with James Cook on their team. But if he truly wants $13, $14, $15 million, I don't know if the Bills think that's more valuable than using that money elsewhere, and like we were talking about before we came on, using a draft pick and mm-hmm. drafting a running back, or maybe Ray Davis becomes your feature running back, and then you take a fourth-round running back, and right. that becomes your new Ray Davis, because the one game James Cook missed last year in the regular season, Ray Davis was really good. Now, that changes when you have a huge workload added onto your plate, mm-hmm. but I think they really like the backfield. I think they think strength and numbers, because if one of those guys is missing, they still have two others who I think they believe can really kind of carry the weight.
Matt Bove joining us. They've got an event tonight. It's always game day in Buffalo tonight. There'll be a live recording of the podcast, so you can attend that. It's at Barbill East here in Rochester on Empire Boulevard. You and Sal. We'll talk to Sal coming up at 8 o'clock today.
And to put full circle on the question that we led off with, is Josh ever completed a pass to someone named Josh? There's one.
Really?
Yeah.
He's completed a pass to a guy named Josh.
Yeah.
Not an interception?
No. Scored a touchdown.
Josh.
It's kind of a trick question. The answer is Josh Allen.
Oh, that's a great.
Well,
right,
that's good. It's a little. That's it's good. A trick question. Kind
the
of
pass completed to Amari Cooper, but Josh did. Score
he scored
the touchdown.
Touchdown on a pass he threw.
That's right.
Just saying. He's the only one though.
I really hope somebody started listening to this interview and they've been driving in their car this whole time and they've been screaming at the radio. It's Josh Allen. It's Josh Allen. And then you finally just gave them that moment.
Yes. What can't he do? Right.
You put my mind in a pretzel right there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, Hard Knocks is here too. We're seeing the crew out here. They've got their Hard Knocks crew shirts, and you know, you see boom mics, and there's some cameras we're walking underneath. I'm excited about it. I think Bills fans should be really excited about getting the inner look. I was talking to Kevin Kearns of the Bills, like what's different, and the number of players that are mic'd up. Mm-hmm. Like in a normal game, sometimes one guy's mic'd up. For these practices, 4 and 5 players are mic'd up for this mm-hmm. process. So you're going to get to know these players in a different way. Yesterday, KJ Hamler's mic'd up. So I don't know if you know anything about KJ Hamler, but you might find out in episode 1 a little bit about him.
Here's my take. I don't think they were initially excited to be selected on Hard Knocks. Now I think they love it. Even though they might not say that they love it, I think that they collectively have a lot to gain. Not necessarily, like Josh doesn't. Everybody already knows who Josh Allen is. He is a superstar mm-hmm. in the NFL. But a lot of people outside of this market don't really know a ton about Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, mm-hmm. Khalil Shakir, Spencer Brown, Deion Dawkins.
Yeah.
These guys are going to be heavily featured in some capacity on the show, and also the production value is just so good. Like, I saw the little teaser that they posted yesterday, mm-hmm. and even me, like, I'm pretty close to this, and I was like, wow, this is going to be good. Yeah. Like, I'm excited, even just as a consumer, to watch this, to see what I don't ever get to see. So that'll be fun.
Did they turn that around that quickly?
No.
Those weren't practice clips from yesterday?
No, they were just, I think, clips from last year, regular practice from the last couple months.
That makes more sense.
Obviously, game clips.
It was like an hour after practice.
I was like, that is so unbelievably impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think it is that, though.
Gotcha.
Matt Bove. All right, thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
guys. You guys are going for a run, or you already did?
Oh, we already did a little workout with Matt Perino and Dom Tibbetts over there. Now we're going to run to go get something for breakfast and then walk back. So that's the nice little getting early, the nice little benefit of getting up and getting early.
And before the weather gets the 98 degrees today or whatever.
115 heat index.
Oh. That's what we're looking at today?
Well, that's the heat index for – I haven't checked this morning, but a couple days ago when I checked for today, that's what they said. So when I was packaging my clothes, I specifically packed light color clothing for today.
Yep. Yeah. I'm wearing the lightest shirt possible.
I was going to say,
linen. I had in my closet.
I'm wearing linen today for sure.
And Jeremy's in a hoodie.
For now.
It makes no sense.
For now. At 9:02, when the sun comes between these two, the pavilion and the stadium,
regular polo,
it gets to be 100 degrees right here. I've got the golf polo underneath. All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks, guys.
Great work as always, and good luck tonight with the event with Sal for It's Always Game Day in Buffalo.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Matt Bovee here from Buffalo Bills training camp. We'll come back, get you some thoughts, some around-the-league stuff. Sal joins us at 8. Joe Brady at 9:15. It's Buffalo Bills training camp here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I think Orlando would get the most out of going up against him every single day. And you certainly feel Trey's presence out there in practice, but Trey's winning, Trey's getting back there, Trey's going to be around the quarterback. But like I said, in practice, he's not hitting me, so not as much as in a game.
That's Joe Burrow. He called the Trey Hendrickson and the contract stuff with regard to the Bengals disappointing, obviously disappointing. Because they have Shamar Stewart and Trey Hendrickson, a couple of defensive players that they could really use. Mm-hmm. You'd like to have all your guys out there day one to try and build that cohesion that I was talking about, but that's not how it usually works. You know, it's a business, and that is how it's gone. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever going to fault the player for doing business how he feels he needs to. It's a cutthroat business. You got to fight for everything you can get. That's how it goes. Routinely, again, that's how it goes. That's how it goes. On Burrow and the Bengals and how they operate. One other thing on Burrow, Zach Taylor said that Burrow is going to play more in the preseason than years past because the Bengals get off to slow starts. All right. Let's look at his career splits in September. Fair?
Okay.
Okay.
Because they lose games.
They do. Joe Burrow has a sub-500 record in September.
Yep. Lost to New England week one last year. But if you remember, the tight end fumbled it at the one-yard line.
In his career, he is 11-1. Sorry, 8-11-1. 8-11-1.
Okay.
You know what his record is in December, Joe Burrow?
Oh, it's got to be like
Joe Burr.
That's one of his nicknames. It's got to be like 12-2.
He's 12-1.
12-1.
Joe Burrow is 12-1 in December, and he's 8-11-1 in September.
It's pretty good.
So, all right, is there something to he gets off to slow starts? Let's play him in the preseason. Well, let's look into the numbers a little bit more. Touchdowns to interceptions in September, 32-13.
Good?
It's pretty good.
It's really good.
It is the worst number he has, though.
Okay.
His quarterback rating is the worst in September. He takes the most sacks in September. His yards per attempt is the lowest in September. His yards per game is the lowest in September.
Okay.
So there's something to be said about Burrow is a slower starter. Maybe it's the line isn't as good. Maybe it's the rest of the team isn't as good. But he is sub-500 in September in games 1-4. Although, you know what? Now that I look at this, 7-10-1 in September. Sometimes games 1-4 don't line up with September, so I just moved to September, even though I was on 1-4. It's about the same. But there'd be years where he misses a game or two. Anyway.
He also has had injuries in his career.
Yes.
And
I would not be playing him more in the preseason.
Playing him more in the preseason, a quarterback that has had injuries, I mean, that's precarious. Like, I would probably not be feeling super comfortable about that if I were a Bengals fan this morning. Wait, we're going to do what? A guy with who had a major elbow injury or wrist injury a year and a half ago and has had a major knee injury in his career and has had other nagging injuries. We're going to play him in the preseason against probably other teams' backups because a lot of teams don't play their guys anymore. Yeah. So, all right. The Bills play Josh Allen, though. But Allen doesn't have the injury history Burrow does. So I would not feel great about that if I were them. I wonder how true that September thing is of other quarterbacks. Is it just a league-wide thing that defenses
starting
are ahead
slow.
At the start? Like, Josh Allen, where would you guess? What would you guess his best month is?
The Bills always win in December.
It's not true of Allen in September. Allen, if you just want to look at passer rating, it's 95 in September, 99 in October, 88 in November, 91 in December, 86 in January. That's just regular season.
That might be conditions-based. It also might be.
Could be.
They're always, for the most part, not needing games in January.
But it's not really, it's not a big difference. Like, he's been better in September than November.
Right.
So, for Burrow, maybe that is unique to him.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher. The heat index is going to be around 100 today, and the Bills hit the practice field at 9:45. Sal joins us coming up at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock, and Joe Brady will speak today at 9:15.
Wore my Blue Jays hat just for Sal today. Just for Sal.
Are you a Blue Jays fan?
Did I not? Very, very casually. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So did I not know this?
I'll admit to being a bandwagon Blue Jays fan. I will check in when they're good.
Is it?
Which means I've checked in about 3 times in my life.
Is it?
4 times, maybe.
Anti-Yankee motivation? Anti-Red Sox motivation that does that?
No, it's that was my T-ball team when I was 5 years old, and it started there, and then I played as them in the video game, MVP Baseball 2004. No one can tell you more about the 04 Blue Jays than I can. Orlando Hudson, and then it just kind of, they're close by. So it ended up fitting. I was never going to be a Yankees or a Red Sox fan. So
you don't have to defend it to me. Close by is what makes sense to me. You saying that your favorite team kind of is who your 5-year-old T-ball team was means that my son's on a crash course with the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know what? We're gonna have to make a change there.
Get him traded.
It's not going to work for me.
Get him traded. I'm going for more guaranteed money.
Going to demand a
trade. We're holding out until we get a deal to the Padres or something.
You know, I'm not going to demand a trade because I like all the people. So instead what I'll do is I'll demand that we change our name.
There you go. Rebrand.
Yeah. Well,
available?
I'd rather be the Kraken. I would sign up. I'd do that. Baseball team named the Kraken.
Couldn't you do that in T-ball? Hey, we're not going to name our team after Major League Baseball teams. We're going to do it after other sports
teams. Hockey
teams?
You could.
Yeah. We got the Lakers baseball team over here playing against the Utah Mammoth over here. That's today's matchup. Could do that.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. NFL training camps all around the league are open. We're all at camp. We are 1 week from the Hall of Fame game. That's a week from tonight.
That is coming up quick.
Yep, that's the Chargers and the Lions Hall of Fame game.
You want a little fantasy fix or fantasy fade?
Yes.
All right, so
we're getting all these rep counts. We're getting everything fantasy find or fantasy fade?
Fantasy find or fantasy
fade. Fantasy find or fantasy fade. Give us a name. And is it a find or is it a fade based on what's going on at camp?
I got 3 guys for you that I saw something about yesterday.
Okay.
1, Hunter Renfrow building, quote, notable chemistry with Bryce Young early at Panthers camp. He was not in the league last year. So Hunter Renfrow?
Why was he not in the league?
He had an injury, but then there was a story about he did construction last year. So, like, I don't really know what happened there. Maybe there was just no league interest. Mm-hmm. But Renfrow, as, like, a real player in Carolina.
All right.
The Bengals saying that Chase Brown will be a focal point of their offense.
Not surprising. Wasn't he already? He's good. I think he's really good.
Focal point sounds more like what you would call Chase and Higgins.
All right.
Right? And then finally, Kevin Stefanski expects Jerome Ford to be one of the top running backs in the league this year.
Okay. Miles Garrett said they're going to win the Super Bowl. Good luck.
That, though, like,
they also
he got asked about the Super Bowl. What's he going to say? I hate that question in training camp. The Titans coach got this the other day.
Are you going to win the Super Bowl?
Why are we asking players and coaches teams we know are bad, like, hey, do you think you could win the Super Bowl this year? They're just trying to get you when they ask that question, right?
Fair.
And you can't. There's no way to answer it. If Miles Garrett says, I mean, come on, man. We're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. He's going to get blasted for that. And if he says, yeah, we're going to win the Super Bowl this year, it's like, oh, this idiot. Don't you know who you play for?
Yep.
Cleveland. Cleveland had a day yesterday, by the way.
I want to talk about that. I have a potentially unpopular take. But first, Aaron in North Virginia is up. Hey, Aaron, good morning.
Hey, gentlemen, how are we doing? Good morning. Happy training camp.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Anybody can call us. We're out here, training camp live. We can still take your phone calls, and we're happy to do so. So thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. Hey, I know I'm actually just catching up on the Odyssey app, but I heard you talking about the James Cook contract situation earlier. And I had a question first off. Do you know if compensatory picks are determined on like a flat scale based just for all positions based on how much money a player receives, or is it based on position? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So they're distributed rounds 3 through 7.
Yeah.
The round and position is determined by a league formula, player salary, playing time and postseason honors.
Uh-huh.
So
playing time might get tricky there because he doesn't play a ton.
Yeah. Thanks, Aaron, that might get tricky. The formula is a little bit tricky to a point where the Bills thought they were going to get a compensatory pick that was a third rounder and they got a fourth instead. Remember
Tremaine Edmonds?
Yeah. So
yeah.
I feel like the formula is there is a detailed breakdown. The value of free agents lost and signed.
Well,
it's
he's got two Pro Bowls already to his name.
Okay, so that'd be help.
That's gonna help. If he gets a third one of those, that helps too. The playing time part of it might ding him a little. And then it's going to depend what type of money he gets, right?
Yeah.
Like, does someone give him the $15 million contract that he's looking for? Because if they do, you put all that together, like, you could get a fourth. I kind of doubt you would get up to a third. It feels like teams that get a third, it's kind of rare.
But it's worth pointing out, the pick you get is not the 26th draft. It's the 27th draft.
Right. It's the next year.
So
this is a while.
If he signs elsewhere in free agency, you get a 2027 comp pick.
Right. Right.
Which – you know, there's building for the future. There's stockpiling picks. It's all well and good. It would be a nice little, all right, he left. We got a third rounder in 2027.
Yep.
What does that really do for us? Nothing for a couple of years. I mean, you know, it's nice to have. So
that also is, again, assuming he would get a big money deal on the open market. And I don't know, should I assume that if he makes it to the open market?
Yeah. And it's also –
like he's not a perfect free agent for a team bringing in a feature back because he doesn't do all the things that you might want him to.
And the other part of the formula is you only get the comp pick if you lose the free agency equation. If you sign a bunch of guys, you don't get the comp picks for losing guys. That's what has to happen. It's for teams that lose free agents and their net loss in free agency is worth a compensatory pick. So thanks, Aaron. It's a little confusing.
It's a part of it, but it's not like it's not a major part of the Cook story for me. Is what they'll who they're
right. It's
they're gonna get an extra Jackson Hawes in 2 years.
Right. Fourth round pick. Sure.
Yeah,
it's a postscript. I mean the 2027 third round pick makes an impact what year on the Bills? 2027, maybe 2028?
Right.
So,
I mean
803-0550 on the Browns and their reveal yesterday that included a person falling into a lake and a jet ski rescue that was maybe staged?
What was staged?
I want to look at the Zapruder film. Let's watch the film on the Browns and another phone call and Sal at the top of the hour here on WGR.
I expect to get to the Super Bowl. Oh, that's our expectation every year. I expect to run back to the Player of the Year. So, keeping both those things in mind, I have to be the very best player I can be every single day.
Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns, who had a day yesterday, they introduced, of course, a new helmet known as the Alpha Dog helmet. Alpha Dog, you know, like Top Dog, which is what they'll be on draft night. I worked on that one for a while.
That was good.
They're picking first. I have an unpopular take on the Alpha Dog helmet.
Okay.
It's good.
The helmet is good?
Yeah, the Browns uniforms, the brown ones, brought to you by a wiping company.
They did that. They kind of leaned into them being the, you know, the poop helmets.
I guess. They're fine. I think they're fine to good. They're fine to good to maybe – they're really good. I think they're fine.
They're really good?
Just hold on. I just went fine
to good to really
good.
Like within a second, we made them a lot better than.
Yeah, and then I went back to fine. But they're not bad. Now I'm down to fine, not bad.
They're not bad?
Owen, make this into one of those.
They are the Browns.
Right. And what are the helmets? Brown.
They're brown.
What are the jerseys?
Brown.
Hey, what team is that? The Browns?
Yeah.
That's right. That's correct. Make this one of those internet clips where like the words pop up on the screen, and in the span of like 30 seconds, I went from fine, good, really good,
really good.
Fine, not bad, fine,
uh-huh,
acceptable, decent. I like them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're okay. 803-0550. Quickly before the break, Rob in Hamburg. Hey, Rob. Good morning. Let me get you punched up here.
Guys,
if I can.
Hey. Good morning, guys. I'd like to talk about Trey White's return. I think everybody's missing, like, the largest impact of this. When he got hurt in, what was it, 2021, UPL had his best statistics. When he got hurt in 2023, UPL had his most wins and shutouts. It's good. The Sabres got to be happy to have the Trey White Goalie Academy back, because last year when he wasn't here, we had problems.
Yeah. All right, hey, Trey White Goalie Academy. They, I was thinking about that when Yaroslav Halak retired. Like, all-time Sabres goalies to give up zero goals, Yaroslav Halak and Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
He's back, and he's, you know, the same Trey White. We'll talk about it with Sal coming up. He looked pretty good, too.
Yeah, he did. He did. It was, when I saw him out there, I'm like, it's just weird to see him on the field and not think, like, okay, that's one of the top corners in football.
Yeah,
because the number's the same, the guy's the same, the energy is the same. And, like, you got to, I almost had to remind myself yesterday, like, that's not the same guy. But yesterday, again, he looked good. Maybe yesterday he did. He looked like the same guy.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. You can give us a call. We are live from St. John Fisher with training camp day two. Training camp coverage from St. John Fisher is brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Jeremy and Joe back on the other side with Mr. Sal Capaccio. His takeaways from practice number one, his observations, and all that as we head into practice number two here on WGR.